Thank you, Sister Hannah, for that beautiful song. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His word. Thanks to everyone who participated so far. It's a wonderful Sabbath in London here. We have light rain, so it's just a pleasant morning, and our hearts just rejoice with the singing of hymns and all the things that make a Sabbath a beautiful day. So greetings, everyone, and welcome to our guest. Trust that today will be another day that we remember as we praise and glorify the Almighty. I noticed that Sister Marie started out with another song on the word. And today I want to speak on the topic, living by the word. You know, as I contemplate the times we're living in, I realize that there are challenges ahead for sure. And the truth is that much of it in terms of the time is unknown. But for Bible-believing Christians, for those who wants to hold on to the word, I suspect that we may be challenged. With some of the movements going on with as much as freedom of speech is encouraged, we are seeing a lot of things happening where if you speak against certain norms, you're seen as an extremist. And many religious groups are falling into that category, especially people who hold some biblical doctrines. And the word, therefore, is important that we absorb it, we understand it, and we're living by it. So let's begin with Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. I'll read from verse 1 to 3. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I'll repeat the last part of verse 3, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So, brethren, we do not live by bread alone. We know that. Bread will give us energy for a day. We start our day and we're filled with physical food. But there's so much more that we want out of a day to make life meaningful, purposeful, and happy. We need to have a good state of mind. We don't need guilt. We don't need a feeling of hopelessness. We don't need to feel like we're lacking in purpose, certainly not in happiness. We want to know that we have great relationships. We know that our sleep at night is really good. And we want to know that we are in pursuit of our goals, our dreams, and we are becoming the best we can be in God's will. And above all things, we want to ensure that we have the hope of eternal life. So much more that we need that physical food cannot give. And so when the Bible says that man, God brought his people into the wilderness, he humbled them and suffered them to hunger. See, he actually made them hungry, gave them manna, basic food, just so he can teach his people that his human creation, those who are made in his likeness and his image, he wanted us to know that we ought not to think that we can live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We need every word, brethren. Not just the Psalms or the Proverbs, not just the history books, not just the prophets, not just the Gospels or the letters or the Revelation. We need all of them, because it's the all that makes us who we ought to be. It is it that fills and satisfies us. And we cannot take in enough. The words are that important. Now, Jesus himself set a great example as to how important the word was in the time of temptation. And if we look at Matthew 4, we'll read the story of his temptation, how the devil, after 40 days of fasting, he was really hungry. But this was the time when he was to be tempted. And so the devil began, of course, with the most immediate need. And that was the need for food. And what the devil told him that he must, you know, if you're the Son of Man, take these stones and turn them into bread, because you have the power to do that. That was only a temptation. Jesus, in his wisdom, quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 that we just read. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God not only delivers us from the devil's temptation, the word of God serves several purposes, functions in our lives. Brethren, today I want us to take up our Bibles. We're going to turn to a number of scriptures just to refresh ourselves in the word and what the word can do for us and has been doing for us. One of the first function I'm going to mention is the word is able to make one wise unto salvation. It makes one wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 has that. So Paul was speaking to Timothy here, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, to turn from a life of sin and enmity against God to a life that is in concord with God, it takes more than just a casual mental acceptance of the fact that there is a God. God calls for deep and thorough repentance, a turning away from sins, and a change to a higher standard of morality, a higher standard of living. Paul emphasized that you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have been giving you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's how the New Living Translation puts the same verse. So one does not come to God without some knowledge of who he is, what is, how he has been working, and what his plans are, and how to come to him. And all of this is what the scriptures teach. We therefore cannot hold back the teaching of the scriptures from those ones that we love most and those who we care for, because it is the what makes one wise unto salvation. Psalm 19 and verse 7 speaks to the same thought. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord are his words. They are sure, and they are perfect, and they make the simple wise. Beautiful verses, wonderful words of life. Now, Jesus, in trying to pass on the message of salvation to his fellow Jewish brethren, they have lots of arguments. They would be questioning him and not believing on him. And what did he say to them? He says, "You go search the scriptures." John 5:39. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So Jesus sent those persons. Whether you're believing, you need to search the scriptures. But if you are in doubt, also search the scriptures, because Jesus was sure that they would find all the prophets that testify of the Christ to come, and he knew that they would find him through searching the scriptures. Brethren, we can do the same today. Whatever questions we have, wherever there's a lack of knowledge, the scripture gives knowledge that no other source can give. Because knowledge that comes from God cannot be sourced otherwise. God has superior knowledge. You know, in going through the scriptures, you know, we're just reading the Bible every day. So we're in the book of Exodus, just continuing from the book of Genesis, which we started during the Feast of Weeks. And we find that it was so interesting to see in the book of Exodus all the things that are set up, how God speaks clearly in giving the law, clear instructions for the children of Israel to follow in order to preserve him. As we search the scriptures, we find answers, many answers for our problems today. God is extremely meticulous. He's detailed in giving instructions. And we are surprised when we go through the tabernacle system and how the laws should be, the different offerings should be offered. All of these details. Mankind cannot, is not the source of these things. But I think the most amazing thing was the fact that this man was given particular gifts to do the craft and art and all of that. And it made the temple, which was the tent at the time, the tabernacle, so beautiful. And we would wonder today, how comes so long ago men had the wisdom to do this work of art? I found the answer then, that it was God that revealed the wisdom and the knowledge as to how to do such things, even as carvings. The word came to him. The Spirit was upon him and he did the work. So those are interesting things to find. So as we search the scriptures, we will find that God is, and that God is at work, and his word is truth and it's powerful. Makes one wise unto salvation. Acts 10:43 is the next verse we'll look at. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So Peter was echoing the same message that all the prophets prophesied about this man who would come, from whom Israel could receive the remissions of sins. And this is the Jesus Christ. So searching the scriptures makes us wise unto salvation. The second function that the Bible serves for us today is cleansing. The word of God cleanses. John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus could say that the word which he spoke was able to cleanse us. He could tell his disciples on the Last Supper that ye are all clean, save one. The word of God has that power. 1 Peter 1:22, hear what Peter has to say about the word and its cleansing power. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, here, Peter is seeing that the soul can be purified, praise the Lord, in obeying the truth through the Spirit. I just love, brethren, to know that my thoughts, my actions, my words, my every behavior can be cleansed by the word. I love to think a lot. I love meditation. If I do get a good, you know, place to walk, especially in nature, I love to exercise my reason and thoughts. And I love pure thoughts. And that's why I love the word that says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think of these things. Because the purity of our thoughts, when it gets into our soul, when it gets into our action, when it gets into our lives, it brings a particular amount of life to us, a meaning to life that we get no other place. The Bible has so many wonderful words that we can meditate on and concentrate on. When we think of Psalm 23, when we think of Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. These are words to meditate on. These are words that give life. It purifies the souls. The word cleanses, brethren. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Paul speaks to the church and he's saying, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Wow. So, husband, love your wives. How? Just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Because he might sanctify and cleanse it. So Christ wants to sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. God loves his church. And he sends his word, and he sends more word so the church can be cleansed by his words. John 17, 17, Jesus made the statement. It's a short verse, but it's one of the most meaningful one to me. I love it, love it, love it. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I love it. It's simple. It speaks for itself. We don't need to argue about that. If you want to be sanctified, if you want to be cleansed by truth. Be cleansed by the word of God. There are times definitely we know that we need this cleansing. We need to know that our entire behavior, everything about us, is according to the word, and it's sanctified by the truth. Not to mention when it comes to our belief system. We will go to the ends just to find the truth so that we can hold on to the truth and nothing but the truth. Because when we are sanctified by the truth, brethren, we are satisfied. We're happy. We know we are cleansed. The word has more to give us, brethren. It consecrates us. Psalm 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. This is consecrating as much as it is comforting. To know that God hath set his people apart. He considered, he hears us differently from how we hear the rest of the world. We're special to him. That is a great knowledge, just to know that the one who we serve, we're not just serving in vain. We're not just calling upon him because we hear of him, but we are satisfied to know that he actually knows us and set us apart. You can imagine any animal just calling their children, like the hens gathering their chicken, covering them, setting them apart. That's family that we're in. Exodus 33:16 also speaks to the consecration. Exodus 33:16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses here knew that Israel was special to God, that they have found grace in his sight, that he was with them, that he has separated them. Moses and his people were separate from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That was a very special consecration of the children of Israel. Brethren, we are. We are of that same family. And God keeps his covenant. And we're here because we are part of that covenant-keeping people. We are part of God's body. We are truly special to him and separated to him. That's what the word teaches. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you up to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So even Paul here is acknowledging the same thing. From the beginning, God has chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We thank God for this very special call. We thank God for the sanctification of the Spirit. We are set apart by the Spirit. We are called to God through the Spirit and belief of the truth. Thank God for both. We hold on to this consecrated status. 2 Timothy 2:19, again, Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, so Paul is flat out sure here that we are standing on good foundation. It's a seal, knowing that the Lord knows them that are his. Yes, we are his brethren. The word is teaching us that we belong to him. And that means a lot to me because it tells me, for one, that I'm a part of a family. Being a part of this family means that the culture, the norms, the behavior, everything is common to among the family. There are values and ideals. These are all commonalities. And therefore, I should not have to be thinking about coming up with my own rules or my own culture or be my own self. That's what the prodigal son did. He wanted to go outside of the family traditions and rules and go and do his own thing, only to realize that it was very bad. Bad experience, lost everything, and would rather to return to his father as a hired servant than as a son. So we cherish our consecrated status with God. We are his children. It means a lot to him. It should mean a lot to us. And therefore, our behavior should be as if we are sanctified by the word and we continue to live according to the dictates of our Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says this, and I know it's a very favorite verse of the congregation, especially when Brother Dwight is leading. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brethren, we are a chosen generation. The church, the body of Christ, Israel, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Peculiar people. How consecrated, how more consecrated could we fine. And this is what the word tells us. And this is a time when all this consecration will have great meaning because we need to stand together as we face these final days in human history. I'm pretty sure that most of us, are at a point where we believe that things are really winding down. And God would have his people to be at their best. Think of this, the virgin without spot or wrinkle. That's how the Lord wants his church to be. This woman without spot or wrinkle. Yes, that the word is what will give us that spotless by cleansing us and consecrating us. The word also functions in convicting and piercing us. Yes, it pierces and it convicts. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 119 verse 30 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. What a powerful way to express the function of the word. It's quick. It's powerful. Sharp. You know, when we have conflicting thoughts, and we're not sure what is right from what is wrong, what is good from what is bad, when we know the word, it just makes that clear cut. Even things that are difficult to discern and differentiate, the word goes right through. It has the ability to prick the heart. It gives light to the soul and understanding to the simple. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful word we have. You know, these days and the days to come, there are so many qualified people with big educational degrees that speaks total nonsense and things against God. People in high places with great authority speak the most perverse things. The humble, the simple want to follow suit and be a part of this mainstream. And whatever is going, go with it. The pressure that they're putting on society for the acceptance of sin in its many shapes and forms. And there's some of us, if we do not have the word abiding in us, brethren, we will be a part of that throng, that crowd going down there, marching the marches, shouting the slangs, asking for more justice for some of the things which, according to the word of God, has no place in human behavior. But the thoughts and the way they are presented, they are strong and powerful. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But the word, when we have the word, just like Jesus says, it is written, we can use the word and bring every such thought into captivity and to obedience to Christ. Thank God for the word. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Yes, the word has the ability even today to prick the hearts of men. And the many stubborn, the many proud, the many people who behave as if they are God, with the Holy Spirit working, their hearts can be pricked. Men's heart can still be pricked and ask the same question, what to do. And we will be ready to tell them, just as Peter did, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I'm not a function of the word. Is that it nourishes the believer. Do we love the word? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It is the word of God that nourishes us. It's milk to the babe, but it's also food for those who are grown up. Brethren, let us not for 1 minute not nourish ourselves with the word, because that's what we need to be at our best. Another function, brethren, is that the word of God is at work in us. Imagine that. It's in you. It's at work in you. It's at work in me. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Praise God. So the word of God is effectually working in all believers. All of us sanctified believers. And I thank God for that. Because when we think of the temptations, the challenges, the things that we face on a daily basis, when we want to behave a particular way, conforming to the devil's standards, and when we find that we can lift our behavior, when we can take the higher place, it is the word that is dwelling in us that helps us, you know, not to give a dirty word for a dirty word, not to curse and swear, not to do just these things, because the word keeps us and helps us and is working in us that we can be the light and the salt, which Brother Courtney spoke so eloquently about, the salt we ought to be. And finally, brethren, the word functions to make us complete. I'd like to appeal to anyone who feels broken, anyone who feels in any shape or form lacking in anything, my encouragement is get to the word again, because it is the word that will make us all complete. And so we turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, which says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. The King James Version says perfect. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we lack anything, let's turn to the word. If we're striving for mastering anything, let's turn to the word. You know, I remember as a youth in the church, I wanted to do well in life. And I find sometimes that it was stressful and challenging. I remember once I became the leader of the youth department, and I decided to do something different So I said, hey, let's put on a film show, a youth film show, raise some funds to do some things. And everybody was with it. So I said, okay, fine. I made all the arrangements. Those days, I was in the 80s, I think, or 90, yeah, 80s. And I remember we had to rent this projector. It was not the days of internet yet. We had to rent this projector. And I invited the community. People would come. So I made all the arrangements, rented the projector. And time came. They said, pick me up. But I have to go pick up the guy with the projector at 6 p.m., and then the movie starts at 7 p.m. And we have about a half an hour drive, so I had to be on time. So I went on time, and I was there waiting. It wasn't the days of cell phone either, so it was hard to communicate. And I waited, and I imagine all the people who were gathered for this movie. And they couldn't see me coming back. And I couldn't communicate with them as to what was happening. And I started to feel so stressed. I was so stressed because I thought I did all that I should do. And now the persons who should come just didn't. So I sat in the car and I said, I'll just wait. And 7 o'clock. I'll just drive back. And I think it was just about 6:30, I heard a knock on the car window. I say, oh yeah, okay, you're here. Get in. And we took off and we reached just in time to start the movie on time. I found that experience life-changing. Why? Because I read the Proverbs and it says, if thou failest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I thought about that also. Okay, so I mentally, also the things were, you know, was happening. I was thinking the worst. I felt like I was defeated and I was just going through all emotions. But I learned from that experience that, look, hold on to faith. What is the worst that can happen? Don't overstress. Don't faint in the day of adversity. So when you're facing challenging times and challenging things, use the word to encourage you. Because God never fails. I never forget that verse to this day. Brethren, there are some persons who want to doubt the Bible. And they will take time to do researches and to compare manuscripts and to find a little fault here and find a little fault here and find misgivings here and then say, how can we accept such a book with so many discrepancies? From early in my life, I realized that I believed the Bible. Not so much because I did my own research and say that, this manuscripts, the oldest manuscripts are good, and so this is what we have. I do think that all researchers prove that the Bible that we have is the Word of God, that it is good. Not to mention, since the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, which matches, you know, what we have to show that, yes, the Word of God is well preserved. And we do have God's intended Word. But I do find that living the Word, brethren, makes it most meaningful to me. And so I want to end with this quote that I got from the Systematic Theological Project. Regarding the Bible. And it says, the biblical results in one's life for obedience is the Bible's best stamp of divine authorship. Adherence to its principles, laws, and concepts bring about success and happiness in one's own life, which is ultimately the most critical ratification of its divine inspiration. Only those who sincerely seek to apply the biblical way to their own lives will eventually learn the practical instructions, timeless wisdom, spiritual depth, and living laws that come from a supreme being and not merely from fallible mortal men. Have a blessed Sabbath, brethren.